Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville, Sharon Kay is all up in the house. Ooh, we got a hot show today, and all these pastor opinions in here. I just, and you know, I'm not one, but I love Jesus, and ain't none of y'all can do about that. Amen. I love the Father.
Amen.
I do, and he is my Savior, and I am not afraid to get on the radio and tell y'all.
You know what this reminds me of?
What?
And it's ironic that we have the pastor from 15th Avenue in here. When I was in seminary, and you brought, and one of the things about being in seminary was you had different pastors and different preachers from different reformations all in the same classroom doing and having the same discussions that are going on right here. And but the thing that ended it all would be when, I won't call any particular instructor's name, when the instructor would say, okay, now what I need you to do is show me that in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And what ended up happening,
there you go.
That shut down about 90% of the course.
Yeah.
That's
exactly,
and that's only right. Because everybody had to then get on the same page.
Right.
And that's amen. Right. So, yeah.
Well, and just as you know, and that's an excellent point, because we were in here saying, Reverend Angelo was saying that, you know, the what were you saying? Because I want to just
First, let's make this real clear. None of us have the corner set on the truth. None of us. So that being said, why do we have so much division?
And that would mean you as well.
Correct.
Right.
We don't know. I don't know everything.
Right.
Absolutely.
And
do
no
not.
Pastor out here does.
Right.
Or deaconess, or whatever.
But what I'm saying is that the world is looking at us, and the world is listening to us, and we can't even come to an understanding of God's word and His truth. Because we have so many different opinions of what we think is right or wrong.
Right.
So this breeds about division.
And our
division.
Opinions are based on our experiences.
True. Okay. Absolutely.
And oh, I cultural. Agree with that. Throwing in cultural issues.
And my wife and I preach on experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we've experienced, what we've seen.
Yes.
We've been with every big name preacher that you can possibly even think of in your mind,
and you weren't
broken
impressed.
Red with them.
And you weren't impressed.
No, we were very confused.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to be honest with you. And you know what Jesus said? Have you not read, Angelo, right back to the Word of God? Because you can't blame God for what you don't know, because you haven't sought Him out.
Yes.
All you've sought out is your experience and not the Word of God.
Yeah.
The Word of God is the end-all, tell-all.
Right.
That's it. There's not 15 different interpretations of the Bible. There's one.
Okay. Yeah, the Bible
weren't there when it was written. And, you know,
yeah,
we,
I was.
Reverend Angelo,
well,
you're
see, this is the thing. The Bible says, and I forget where exactly it is, but it says the prophecy of Scripture is of no private interpretation, that it was already established by the prophets.
Yeah.
You know, so that to me says, like, wait a minute. This meaning and the interpretation of the Word of God has already been established by the prophets of old and the holy men.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, so it's confusing to me as well, where there's so many interpretations.
But we're saying that, and we're not putting into context the cultural aspects of it and the time period aspects of it. We're looking at the 2018 lens about thousands and thousands of years ago and another culture and race of people that, you know, we're using the United States measuring stick on races and cultures of people that we don't even understand in this country and have difficulty with on the mainstream side. Anyone who looks or different or
sure.
believes different or follows what the word truly says. I mean, they are put down, dogged out by the church. Oh, they're strange. They're different. I can't go there. They this, they that. I mean, it's the church itself that is making you have all these thoughts or putting these thoughts in your head about the culture and the race of those people that were sure. back in those biblical times when all that was written and done.
Well, I don't want to humanize the Bible because based upon my skin color, because I'm white, okay? I mean, we've been to Uganda, Africa. We've been to different places around the world and seen different cultures and been involved with different cultures. And it's amazing how in America, everything is dominant upon what you look like.
Yeah.
The academic, where you are financially in the status yes. quo of this world. I'm in my car every day ministering to people of all different walks of life and all different cultures. And it's amazing how the church has been the focus point of the racial divide in America.
Oh, yes.
It's based upon...
It's woven through the history of the church.
You know what? It works on every side.
Yeah.
White, black, Asian, Hispanic.
Well, the black church, now hold up. We are not taught to hate white people, okay? I don't know what church that would be of, but that's not...
That's America.
Well, that might be a different... one I never participated in.
Amen.
I don't know of a church, black, where they say, I hate white folk. They teach us to open our eyes and
you
awaken.
Been to many churches.
Well, I've been to a lot,
yeah,
okay?
So part of the challenge is, again, we're making generalizations about what is a very varied group of institutions.
Yeah.
So there isn't, you can have experiences in churches that do just what our brother has said, that promotes division and divisiveness. But we also know there are plenty of churches that do just the opposite. The challenge, however, is division is as old as scripture itself.
Yeah.
When we look over in the 6th chapter of Acts, we see the complaint that rises up from the widows or from the Greek widows because they believe that they're being treated different than the Jewish widows.
Mm-hmm.
We see division throughout scripture. So that's not a new phenomenon. That is something that is old as scripture itself. And we ought not be surprised that we continue to wrestle with issues of division because it's just a part of the human condition.
That's like the devil is getting in. He's in control. And what's the black liberation theology? To me, that was not the scary thing that it was portrayed as during President Obama's run for the White House. You know, I have had, years ago, I've interviewed him twice, the founder of Black Liberation Theology,
James Cone.
He's been on my show twice, and I interviewed him about his books. And that was, you know, as we were, you know, from what I gathered from, if that's what you were referring to, because I know that... was demonized during the 2007-2008 time frame as black ministers speaking out or being negative or full of hate-filled against white people, and that's not what it is.
Well, it's not about white or black. To me, I'm talking about the church, okay? I'm talking about the music industry. Look at the music industry, okay? The gospel, quote-unquote, Christian or gospel music industry is blatantly black or white.
Yeah.
There is no unity within the body of Christ because the black folk listen to this style of music, and that's what we relate to, and the white people listen to that kind of music.
They have Southern gospel, and then there's gospel.
What we've done is we've decreased the gospel to a genre.
Yes.
Okay? And again, it comes down to the music that, again, music is a very powerful tool within the body of Christ in America.
It is.
Okay? And so and if you don't sing my song in your church, then I'm not coming to your church because I'm going to go to this church because they're going to give me Fred Hammond. Oh, this one's going to give me Michael W. Smith.
So they're in it for the entertainment purposes only and not about having a relationship with God. That's no newsflash right there because that's real. That's real.
It's the danger of generalization. So the fact that someone enjoys the music of Fred Hammond, it's not the problem. We serve a God that has demonstrated his willingness to engage in diversity.
Yeah.
He doesn't do what his work one way with every people, but he meets them in their humanness. And so the African-American community has a rich tradition of music. And as long as that tradition of music holds faithful to the gospel, mm-hmm. the fact that it does that differently is not the problem.
Mm-hmm.
It is when, and I think this is the point our brother's making, it's when the style becomes more important than the substance.
Right.
And so
right.
that I'm only interested exactly. in how it's executed
exactly.
and not listening to the underlying
yeah.
message. Then you have some
right. challenges.
Yeah, no, and that's what I wanted to just touch upon is that even 25 years ago, mm-hmm. or really over 25 years ago, when I first heard gospel music when I was mm-hmm. in college, the music, you know, of course, has evolved, but also the message has evolved and changed,
mm-hmm.
where it's not so much the gospel of Jesus Christ mm-hmm. as it used to be.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That has really, really changed. A lot of gospel music lyrics now are inspirational,
mm-hmm.
are based on empowerment. You know, this message where, you know, you can win, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when you get away from the core message
right.
of the Bible, which is the gospel of Jesus
yeah.
Christ, because to me, it's like gospel is not just a genre stylistically.
Mm-hmm.
It was also the lyrical content that was speaking and showing me what the Bible was saying. I mean, because I have to say that is the way Angela and I came to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I came to the Lord through Yolanda Adams' album called Just As I Am.
Yeah.
You know, the gospel was clearly presented to me
oh, yeah.
through those songs.
Yeah, through those lyrics. I mean,
when she
had to
sang Wash Me, when she yeah. sang Restore Me, mm-hmm. it was like, oh, okay, this is what I need to do
right.
to come to the Lord. You know, we've really, really gotten away from that in gospel music. And also this gospel of inclusion,
yeah.
you know, has, I mean, Carlton Pearson said, you know, many of the most powerful people in the gospel music industry, you know, are homosexual, first of all, and believe the gospel
Don't
of inclusion.
Them.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that we've really, really gotten away. You know what I'm saying? Because we love the style of gospel music and you know,
the genre.
As a genre. But we've gotten away from the actual message of the gospel.
Can I just say that gay people have been with us since the beginning of time? It's not like they just developed here in the last few years. There have been people gay in the church for years. I remember when I was a kid growing up, and I mean, and I'm grown, that there were gay choir directors or musicians or ushers or whatever. So it's not like it's new. If there's nothing new under the sun, then our stuff is not new. It's old.
Can I ask you a question?
Certainly.
As pertaining to that?
Yes.
Is that, I'm going to ask Pastor this, mm-hmm. is that if you have somebody in your choir that's a homosexual, or you have a homosexual leading your praise and worship, so to speak, right? Do you think that God can use that?
Do I think that God can use them?
Mm-hmm.
We certainly have seen examples where God has used flawed folk to do good work. We've seen God use liars. We've seen God use adulterers. We've seen God use fornicators. We've seen God use folk who have been deeply flawed.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen God use gossipers. We've seen God use people who didn't love their fellow brother.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen God use people who didn't like black folk, who didn't like white folk. I mean, we have seen the full array of human frailty
mm-hmm.
presented in the church, and we've seen that what God has done has at times been even greater than their flaws. Do we want folk to remain as they are when they come into church? Absolutely not. Do we want people to lay aside sin and to have a life that reflects truly the power of God? Yes. But am I going to say that God is somehow prohibited in the group of people he can put his hands on and use in a moment? Absolutely not. God can do whatever God wants to do.
Yeah, because I was just asking a question yeah. based upon what we're talking about,
yeah.
that God does not hear the prayers of the unrighteous.
In
that scripture.
And again, if that were to be, you got to then define what does that language of unrighteous mean? Because every time you and I fall to our knees and
well,
pray.
What did Paul say in Corinthians?
Well, every time he says that none of us are righteous, as he writes to the church.
Mm.
He said all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
We become righteous by the blood of Jesus.
Absolutely. But so it is a righteousness that is not tied to the individual.
Of course.
Yeah,
it is a righteousness
that
covers the individual.
Can I interject and say yeah. something here? Because I see both sides of the theological framework, but what begins to happen is we we become that thing that Jesus came to protect us from. And that is, we become judgmental, and we become those Pharisees and Sadducees who over a period of time begin to persecute people because we feel as though that we're not God. Our job is to preach the gospel and allow the Holy Spirit to convict and change people. Mm-hmm. So let me say this in terms of people who are gay or a lesbian. The church as a mass did itself a disjustice years ago when it began to attack gay people, because that was a sin that you could visibly, in some cases, see on people, persecuted them and drove them out of the church. As a result of that, they turn to politics, they turn to social justice, and then you begin to see the movement within the court systems. Now you have the gay marriages and you have all the other things, instead of the church embracing them and saying, let me just preach the gospel to you. There's room for you in God's kingdom, and work on trying to understand what is God saying in this moment. And so now you have a division because you begin to have pastors attack a sin that you could visibly see in some folk, but you allow adulterers, you allow people to beat their wives, you allow people to do all these other things, and you can't see those things.
No, we don't allow that.
No, when I say you allow it, what I'm saying is that you don't know what people are doing or what they have done before they've come into the church.
Now, so, we got to take a break.
Yeah.
Because I see, everybody's getting saying. Ready to say something.
But you don't see. I just want to say this. I want to piggyback on that real quick.
Those are the things
real fast.
But,
yeah.
Now, God will say to that, do you want help or do you want acceptance?
Okay, we're going to take the time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Dependable and knowledgeable agent, seeks customers looking for protection and long-term relationships. Look no further than Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Having one special person for your car, home, and life insurance lets you get down to business with the rest of your life. You can stop by the offices of Terry W. Jones at 545 Main Street Drive, Suite 104 in Metro Center, or call 615-256-6066, or by email at myagent@terrywjones.net. What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is also brought to you by Integrity Dental Care at 397 Wallace Road, Southern Hills Medical Center, Building C, Suite 314. Regular dental visits are essential to make sure oral health problems, from tooth decay to oral cancer, are detected and treated in a timely manner. At Integrity Dental Care, your oral health is our paramount concern. We want to make sure your teeth stay healthy, function well, and look great. From regular cleanings and exams to advanced restorative treatments, all of your routine dental needs can be met at Integrity Dental Care. For more information, call 615-445-8700 or online at integritydentalcares.com.
For the next jazz night in America, South Africa's forgotten jazz history, with music by Abdullah Ibrahim.
The only reality is a dream, because everything that you see in reality started with a dream.
I'm Christian McBride, and that's on the next Jazz Night in America. Catch Jazz Night in America every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m., and Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here at listener-supported Jazzy 88.
Support for WFSK comes from Silver Sands Cafe at 937 Locklear Street off of 10th Avenue North. Silver Sands Cafe, Nashville's soul food restaurant, is open Tuesday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. and Sunday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. for dining in or carry out. Silver Sands is closed on Monday and Saturday. Choose from a variety of delicious breakfast specials and daily items for lunch, including meats, sides, and desserts. desserts made just like Mama used to make. For more information about Silver Sands Cafe, call 615-780-9900 or online at silversandscafe.com. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on. Jazzy 88 WFSK. You didn't think you were in the house, Reverend Andrew.
No, I feel like I
think you were in the house, man. You didn't know, huh?
I feel like what's that, WWF?
No.
No, but see, you know how to wrestle. What you talking about?
Mr.
Veronica, he knows. I can tell you used to wrestling with, you believe. You remind me so much of my brother because he is just the way he is. And he wants everybody to go. He wants to go to heaven. Doggone it.
Let me tell you, that's the ultimate goal. Yes. You know what? Yes. I just want to say this. You know, it's like I turned away from the music industry.
Yeah.
Okay, my wife and I could have signed a deal last year and compromised everything that we're talking about here today.
But aren't you glad you didn't? Because it seems to me like you don't even need to be in it the way you feel about it, because you've seen with your own eyes, mm-hmm. you looked through it and saw, this is not for me, whether you can sing or not. And you seem to me like somebody who needed to be doing the opposite direction of that. So because it does seem to vex you a bit, seeing, and X will know because he's known me for a long time, I stopped covering gospel music industry events and people because I got sick to death of the phoniness. I'm like, y'all make me ill. I can't take this, because it was all the shiny outfits, all the putting on and pretending. It was all the dogs and ponies, and it was all my stuff. That's and true. Look at me. I was like, you know what? Wiggle Jesus up
God
in here.
God is good. God has blessed me.
Yeah, look at what I got and what I've done. And I'm like, where is Jesus in here? So I'm out. I'm done.
And I just want to say this.
So that's real. I understand what you're going through. I understand that.
But what we're talking about here, like when we talk about homosexual, this is not about hating a homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, I have a niece and nephew who are gayer than a $35 bill. Okay? And I love them with like if they were my own children. Mm-hmm. Okay? So this is not about hating this is not about hate a group of people.
Yeah.
So let's get this clear. Okay? But it is saying that you cannot inherit the kingdom of God with your unrighteous, whether you're an adulterer, or you're a homosexual, a wife beater, any kind of sexual sin is sexual sin.
But think about this.
And not just sexual sin.
Yeah,
any
that's,
sin.
That's the problem.
Right. That's correct.
Yeah.
So how do you practice of sin? Yeah, and so who comprises your church? You mean to tell me there are no liars in your church? There are no gossipers in your church? There are no people who kill with their tongue? There are no people who are dishonest? That you have a congregation that's filled with people who are free from sin?
We have few.
Can I say this real quick?
We believe in 1 Corinthians 6:9.
Yes.
You know, where it says that, you know what I'm saying, not everybody will inherit the kingdom of God. And I think there's a big difference between people who, every Christian sins. But a Christian is not supposed to practice sin
or
make it a lifestyle. It's not supposed to be willful and deliberate.
And does God create a different category of sin for those Christians who are not practicing sin but yet engage in a moment of sin? Right. Does God look at that differently?
Can I interject? I believe so. It's called a sinner.
Where does one practice sin?
That's what the 1 John 3 talks about.
1 John 3:10.
Let me interject.
It talks about the children of God and the children children of God and the children of the devil, and how to differentiate
God
those.
God hates all sin. Period.
Yes.
Whether it's sin practiced by the believer, whether it's sin practiced by someone that we would refer to as a sinner.
Least you repent.
God hates all sin.
Well, let me tell you something. Salvation starts with one word: repentance. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, repent, or likewise perish.
Salvation doesn't start with repentance. Salvation starts with Calvary. So without the sacrifice of Christ, there is no repentance. And then there's godly.
That goes without
and
saying.
And the Bible says that repentance is the product of godly sorrow. So what prompts the godly sorrow? The Holy Spirit. So again, God is involved in the
all truth,
which is God acting on us that we might then repent. You're absolutely right.
And so, my thing is,
when we repent, it is a change of mind and a change of direction because of that change.
But it doesn't mean people can't pick that stuff back up. And that's where Christians are having a hard time.
Absolutely.
I mean, if they weren't having a hard time, would families be separated at the border? Well, we see all the injustices we see in our nation if people weren't dropping it and then picking it back up. That's what the problems are now.
Let's reel this back to the homosexual worship. Okay? Now, this is a personal thing. Okay? Because it's an experience thing. We've been in gospel music for 25 years. So we haven't just started singing last week. So I know the record presidents. I know the labels. Do you know the presence of these labels?
I don't have to. I've pastored for over 15 years.
Okay.
And what I do know is that it seems to me that we often have this fixation on homosexuality instead of a fixation on sin in whatever form it shows up. So I am willing to acknowledge there's nothing in Scripture that supports that particular lifestyle. But Scripture talks about a lot of sins. And so you don't get to focus on one sin and spend all of our time.
But the world does.
When
Obama put the homosexual flag across the White House.
We are not the world. So regardless of what the world does, the Bible declares that we ought to live differently. And all you hear me saying is, one, let's treat all sin as sin. Let's not just cherry pick a sin.
I agree with you.
Nobody
100%.
Nobody was doing that.
Well, we spent a lot of time just talking about homosexuality.
Right,
but we're focusing on one thing right now.
I was just quoting somebody else, and that's how that came up.
Yeah, it's all sin.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
But if you look at the President of the United States, he put the LGBTQ.
Well, the President of the United States is Donald Trump.
No, this was Obama.
I'm just saying the President now is Trump. So
I understand.
We don't even have to go back to Obama.
But he took all that LGBTQ stuff out of the White House.
But now we should be talking about sin in the White House.
And you know what Trump has done?
Plenty of sin up in the White House.
And let me say that, you know what Trump has done? He's called people from the African diaspora S-hole nations and S-hole people. And he's referred to all of us, people of color, as less than anything. I mean, so we don't want
to... Trump.
We are not going to compare him to President.
Let me say this. First of all, I play y'all's music on... When I say I mean y'all, I play your music on my show. And I think if you check back through your emails over the past year or so, you'll see that I've played your music. So in terms of different music, I listen for gospel. I listen for the message and the music. So I play your music on my show. If you go to my Facebook page, you see where I also tagged you on a list. Go back about a month, maybe a month and a half, 2 months ago. There's a list. You may see why I mentioned your music. But having said that, let me see if I can put a human face on this. Because all of y'all are right. All of y'all are right. I just want to say that. Okay? It's just that the way you're presenting salvation is confusing people. And so I have a family member, just like you said, you have a family member who I won't call because you never know who's listening. they called me. This has been over 10 years ago. And they are they are gay or lesbian.
Okay.
Because I don't want anybody to figure. So they called me questioning. We all grew up in church. We're all PKs. All right. And so they were struggling with the fact that in trying to understand what's going on with them in terms of their choice of lifestyle, they went to church. And not only did the pastor, and not just one church, but not only did the pastors and the people in the church turn against them and make them feel as though they had no place in the church, they demonized that person to the degree where they don't go to church anymore.
Right.
So what is that person supposed to do? Because that person knows people in the church, and that person knows the things that people do in the church that are seen and unseen.
but those things are not being called out. So now that person no longer wants to participate or have anything to do with God.
Right.
So that person cannot hear the gospel because the gospel has come to them and ripped them to shreds. And that's the point that I'm trying to make. You make a valid point when we're talking about sin, but we have to understand when Jesus comes and he's doing these things on the Sabbath, why is he doing these things particularly on the Sabbath? Why did he do it on the Sabbath? And who got upset? And why did they get upset? And there's your answer.
Yeah, I don't think, first of all, we're condemning anybody, any one group of people. I think what Paul was saying was that if you're living in this sexual immoral lifestyle, why you're not even supposed to break bread with one who's called himself a brother. Okay, so that's coming into the church.
What are the first two commandments?
Love your God, there's so much. There you
there's
go.
So much adultery.
Else, mm-hmm.
There's so much adultery and fornication going on. For us to pick that one out when divorce and the church is higher than
let's not even go around divorce, but let's take another story.
Let's bring up the president of the United States.
Wait a minute, before you bring
how many times have you been married?
And having babies by choir members and all that. That's the church. Okay, that's the straight up church.
At some churches, yes.
Not all churches. Not every. That's true. And Lord knows, never at yours. I mean, never. Okay.
Some churches.
Never.
I got
so whatever.
One baby mama, and that's my wife.
Okay.
Amen.
Well, I'm happy to have Reverend Lattimore in the studio, y'all, at the new pastor at 15th Avenue Baptist Church. Yeah. But I'm just like, there is not a single person on earth. Reverend Angelo and Veronica, Minister Veronica, that is sin free. There's no such a thing as a sin free.
We're not saying that at all.
Or is so righteous that you know.
But I believe that if we're Christians,
it's a struggle.
We're made free. You know what I'm saying? From the practice of sin. It's not that we're
not it doesn't mean you're not going to do sometime during the course of the day.
Of course not.
There's not going to be a whoopsie sin come out of it.
That's right.
Okay.
Correct.
It's going to come out, but you ask God to forgive you for that.
And we're not rejecting anybody to come to our church.
Repentance is repenting from that lifestyle.
Right.
That
what happened to deliverance
but
in the church?
But you have to work on it. It's a process. You have to work on it.
Where's the deliverance?
And that's what God, that's what God looks at. And that's why we call God the good judge. The Holy Spirit searches the heart. So if God is watching a person trying to change,
He knows what we're going to do. He knows our thoughts and our actions. Did Jesus not say that he was to judge those outside the walls?
But listen to me. Listen to me. If we start there, let's start with the head honcho who's running the country right now. Let's look at the amount of the decision-making process that is poisoning the country, where you have evidence now where he broke laws with campaign financing. You have evidence now of him lying on videotape left and right. Remember, lying is a sin. And so he is...
And Obama was perfect?
But listen to me now. I'm talking about what... I'm talking about the open, blatant things that we see taking place right now on a multiplicity of scales that are damaging our nation in terms of what we see with the kids being separated at the border, with the paying off of prostitutes and then lying about it to camera, the intimidation, the bullying on social media. If you can go down the line, if you had to label all those sins, then what do you think that does to our country as we call ourselves Christians? We're supposed to be preaching the gospel.
Let me ask you a question. Who's on the coin? Caesar. Jesus, we're not supposed to be fixated on what Donald Trump does, Obama does, or any of these government officials do, because Jesus Christ.
But you just brought up Obama and the LGB flag.
And let's also.
Well, did he not?
There is,
did he not do that?
Hold on, but let's be clear.
We called that out, though.
There is no comparison between the character of President Obama and the character of Donald Trump. They are not comparable. Now, you can talk about the policies and whether or not you agree with the presidential policies, but we're not talking about we may have disagreements with Donald Trump's policies, but we have fundamental problems with his character, the individual that he is and the practices that he's behaved in, and it seems to me inherently unfair to suggest that there's any comparableness between him and President Obama around issues of personal character, because we never had any of the examples from President Obama that we've seen in Donald Trump.
President Obama was well-spoken, well-educated, okay? Donald Trump is a Tweety bird. I mean, this guy will say whatever he wants to say.
Not just well-spoken, a family man, a man of integrity, a man of character.
He's a Christian?
And we never...
He knows Jesus.
I have to take his confession.
Yes.
Because I'm not in a position to... The Bible tells me that the only judge...
Paul, being a Christian... Well, I happen to know his musical director. Okay, personally. Okay.
Yeah, but his pastor was Jeremiah Wright.
I just want to press back on this false equivalence between Obama and Trump. You can critique the policies of President Obama, and I think that's fair ground. But let's not continue to suggest that these two individuals are anywhere near.
Well, they're
the
not
same.
My Jesus. You know what? Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. I will exalt Him and Him only.
But Pastor, here's the problem. Because to the listeners, this is not, we're just having a discussion.
Sure.
No one is saying who voted for it. Here's the problem. Rebuke the stuff that Donald Trump is doing. We haven't heard that from the religious right. And I'm not saying that you personally, but we haven't heard it from religious right. We haven't heard it anywhere across the board. Look at what happened with the Kavanaugh hearings. And now this man is sitting on the Supreme Court. And this woman who accused him of rape did not get a fair shake. This is what we're talking about moral character.
Those are wrong.
That's what we've been sitting here talking about for the past hour. We pick and choose what we want to demonize, while this moral failure and breakdown in the United States has taken place. And I'll
absolutely
say this, and I'll say this going to break, because I'm former military. When I see this man who is a Washington Post reporter get kidnapped and then possibly tortured and murdered by the Saudi government, and then you start to trace the money and the ties to the Trump administration, again, we're talking about moral, and we're talking about policies.
See, what did you just say? You said money. Okay? Let me tell you something. Cash is king.
But see,
men,
out of all I've said,
these men,
that's
Obama,
what you heard.
Trump, Clinton,
but that's
Bush,
not,
hang on.
Uh-huh.
They're all selected by the ones that have the cash.
But out of all I've said, you've not addressed what I've said. We're not addressing those moral flaws that are not biblically sound coming from the top of the White House all across the board. We're not talking about just a flag. We're talking about
That's
all these moral breakdowns.
But
call it out, though. Like we just called out some of these homosexuals and all that other stuff.
And if it did get called
out.
But if it did get called out, it would be a new day in this country.
And that's my
point. The problem is that nobody's doing it.
Sure.
You're doing it on this show with us.
Sure.
But collectively across the board, the evangelicals and others of that nature have referred to those things as mulligans. And there wasn't a mulligan when Obama was president. It was an, oh, Lord, we're going to get rid of him moment. Let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Dependable and knowledgeable agent, seeks customers looking for protection and long-term relationships. Look no further than Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Having one special person for your car, home, and life insurance lets you get down to business with the rest of your life. You can stop by the offices of Terry W. Jones at 545 Mainstream Drive, Suite 104 in Metro Center, or call 615-256-6066 or by email at myagent@terrywjones.net. This week's Jazzy 88 Artist of the Week is keyboardist, composer, and vocalist Kayla Waters. Her latest release is entitled Co-Evolve, Jazz Lovers. Be sure not to miss the Jazzy 88 Artist of the Week, Thursdays from noon to 1. You hear prime cuts from the new release and have a chance to win some brand new music right here on WFSK with the Jazzy 88 Artist of the Week. What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is also brought to you by Integrity Dental Care at 397 Wallace Road, Southern Hills Medical Center, Building C, Suite 314. Regular dental visits are essential to make sure oral health problems, from tooth decay to oral cancer, are detected and treated in a timely manner. At Integrity Dental Care, your oral health is our paramount concern. We want to make sure your teeth stay healthy, function well, and look great. From regular cleanings and exams to advanced restorative treatments, all of your routine dental needs can be met at Integrity Dental Care. For more information, call 615-445-8700 or online at integritydentalcares.com. Up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, T. Nashville. Sharon Kay is all he cracks up with.
Y'all having a sweet.
Y'all having the other show doing the break.
Oh, yes. I'm like, woo. We got to read it back again. This was good stuff.
It's very important.
What it's about, you know.
Yes.
I don't know. It doesn't say in the Bible that the Christian walk is going to be a smooth path. It's not going to be like a smooth jazz song. Yeah. It's not going to do that. It's going to be a bumpy road, you know, and it's good to hear, you know, us have this.
These are the things
to agree to disagree, or whether we agree or not. Yeah. It's just the way it is, and it's different interpretations of things, and that's what really, to me, at the end of the day, a lot of this in our Christian realm is all about different interpretations, and if you don't factor in culture into it, you're going to miss the whole thing, because historically, the Bible wasn't written in the year 2000. It was written thousands of years ago. And the interpretations were written thousands of years ago by people who weren't made in America. So everything we do and discuss in biblically is filtered through the American filter and the American experience. Because none of us in this room that I know of were Gentiles from way back, or Jews. I mean, in this room, I don't think so. But I mean, out there listening, I'm sure online somewhere is someone. My brother, who I speak about often, he's one of the few people I know who stayed a Christian from age 14 to the present, and he's 64. He left the Christian church, and he's Messianic Jew now.
Wow.
And he said he just couldn't, you know, he wanted to get the closer to the Torah, and he just wanted to be, he's an elder in his church in Arizona. And he has found relief or better understanding from understanding things in that Jewish church. So, you know, because he was Pentecostal, and he was no denomination, and it was just the confusion.
I just got to say this.
Yes.
Our passion.
Oh, well, let me introduce you first.
Okay.
That's Reverend Angelo Petrucci and his wife, Minister Veronica Petrucci, are here from Higher Place Church. See, I hadn't said y'all's name because there was so much going on. I was like, tell these people who you're listening to.
World War IV happened.
I know, it's good.
This is our passion.
Wait a minute. Let me introduce Pastor.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Reverend Dr. David Lattimore of 15th Avenue Baptist Church.
Amen.
Our neighbor. They're our neighbors down the street. So, you know, I got to do a shout out.
We are having a vigorous conversation.
Yes, we are. See, welcome to Nashville. Okay, go ahead.
Whatever sin you're in, you know, I believe that God is a forgiving God.
Yes, he is.
It starts with repentance.
Yeah.
But I say this, all that to be said, Jesus said, repent or likewise perish. In other words, he doesn't want anybody to, he didn't come so that all men could perish, but have everlasting life.
Yeah.
And our passion and our desire for you, for the folks that come to Higher Place Church, is that they get to know the truth for themselves.
Yeah.
You read the Bible for yourself. You come to an understanding of who Christ is. The motto of our church is loving you to the truth, because the truth makes you free, right?
I
just want to say, we don't want anybody to perish. Anybody.
Can I say this about reading the Bible, okay? Now, you don't know my story.
Sure.
But I will say, I wasn't My mama was a Sunday school superintendent for 40-some years. AME church going all my life. 52 generations later, I was still there. King James was the version back mm-hmm. then, because that was the growing up days.
Red letter version.
Yeah, you, yes, see, now we're talking. But my point is that after all those years and all the struggles and all the things I went through just reading, I wasn't getting it. I was one of those kind of people who couldn't. Had scripture all around me, knew every time the church doors was open, I was there. When my family was there singing the choir, granny was an usher, grandfather sang the, there. Daddy was a trustee. You can't get no more church than my family was and still is. Okay? So it wasn't, I needed something further than that. I can read it, but it wasn't getting it. The these and the thous, and I don't know anybody that talks like that. I needed something that was more real and relevant. Mm-hmm. That is when I met a pastor at a church I was involved in until he moved to Georgia, who was a theologian who took the time to explain things and to give some context. And that's why I keep talking about culture and time and history, because once he began to lay out the scriptures to us in that form and allowed us to ask questions, then I could say, okay, I can put this in my life. I can do this and understand that doing that is like, But I mean, I had to have it brought to me in a different way than what you're describing, because that crash and burn Bible scripture over the head stuff, wow, that didn't work for me. So, and there's a lot of Christians out there like me that are just in the struggle of trying to understand. We can't curtsy and bow, and we can't do thus and thus. That's not us. That's not how we roll. And the difficulty comes when I meet people like you, Reverend Angelo, and this is not negative, that say, just read. I'm like, just read, don't cut it. It doesn't, I want to have a relationship with the Lord. I want to go to heaven. Now that I understand, it's truly a place that I want to be in and a lifestyle I want to have. Now that I get it, but not scaring me or not whooping me with scripture, because that didn't work for Christians like me.
I don't think so. And Pastor Angelo, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think that he's just saying, just read. Because what I've heard also in their comments is a firm belief in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that it is the Holy Spirit that meets us when we read.
But you can't know what a Holy Spirit is if you really can't recognize it when you see it.
While that is true, it does not change the fact that encountering the truth in Scripture is not a function of intellect or reading ability alone. Only time you see truth in Scripture is when God meets you in that reading and then reveals truth to you. And the challenge that we've had is that there have been people who thought it's just a matter of intellect, it's just a matter of rationality. And that's not it at all. I know a lot of smart people who know the Bible from cover to cover and don't know the God of it. So it does require God to be present in the reading. And if God is present in the reading, then you can get to the truth of the reading. And that helps you, because culture and time and place doesn't change the eternal truth of Scripture.
That's all good.
And I think that's what
That's all good, but when you... and I don't know, maybe it's the formula of the humanity that we have to go through the bottom of the barrel. You have to be so... just broke. I was broke. I lived in the trunk of my car. I was supposed to be a celebrity in Nashville. You can't tell me I wasn't desperate. I wanted God to bless me so bad. I wanted to understand a blessing, because I saw too many people I knew that had money and walked right past me, didn't even offer me a cheeseburger from McDonald's or nothing. And I'm sitting up here starving to death, and right around me, and the Lord was blessing them. I said, now, wait a minute. Something ain't right with this. Now, I'm trying to get better. I'm this and that. All these things are going on. So I'm telling you, there's this style of person like me that's out there now trying to find a relationship with the Father. And I had to get on my face and on my knees for 5 years in order to truly understand how the Father operates. Because I'm saying now there's difficult, people are having difficulty with understanding how he operates. Yes, it's nice to blow the scriptures out there and say, hoo-dee-doo-doo. But that's not, you got to see it and then understand what you see. Because a lot of times, Reverend Lattimore, you don't understand it. You know, you don't understand that that's how God, that's how he operates. Oh.
But faith is the substance of things hoped for.
But you
the
don't,
evidence
but
of things you don't not know seen.
Let me say, my pastor wrote a book called Spiritual Maturity. And so to the Vertrucci's, is that, am I pronouncing it?
Petrucci.
Just say Reverend Angelo.
Just that guy in the red shirt.
This is what I'm saying when I say spiritual maturity.
And we shall reconvene, as I do on my broadcast. We shall reconvene because it's important that the Christians have these discussions and these dialogues. If we say we love the Lord and you know, all this kind of stuff, we need to start acting like it and having conversations about things besides prosperity. Come on, somebody, because you know it's going to be a Cadillac or something, a Mercedes, a Tesla in somebody's sermon today. I know it's going to be a Tesla. Anyway, now, as we close, I got to do this. What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance, also by Integrity Dental Care. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. I got to do that. I got to do that right. Because those are my sponsors. Amen. Thank God for them. Mm-hmm. Now, having said that, we're going to do the traditional close on my broadcast. And that is, we're going to close with our tag team prayer. And we will start with Minister Veronica. And then we shall move on to her husband, Reverend Angelo Petrucci. And they're both of Higher Place Church. And then we shall close with Reverend Dr. David Lattimore of 15th Avenue Church, our nearby neighbor. So that's how we're going to close, Nashville. And we're going to reconvene. I'll let you know when that is, when we get back together again. And we're going to pick up where we left off on the question of what we mentioned just before of getting the unchurched in. And what do we do about that? Hopefully they were listening today. Want to go by Higher Place or 15th Avenue. So, Minister Veronica.
Father God, we just thank you for today. I thank you for Sharon. I thank you for Pastor Lattimore.
Yes.
I thank you for all that you're doing in Nashville, Tennessee. Mm. I thank you, God, that you have... you are reaching out to the city like never before, Lord God, and you're presenting your salvation, God. And I just thank you, God, that you're reaching out to the hearts of men. And I thank you, God, that you are touching the minds and the hearts. And God, you're bringing this mercy and this grace, God, that is so tangible, Lord God, that you're making your word understandable, Lord Jesus. I just thank you, God, for all that you're doing in this city, and I thank you for this show. Bless this show and let it reach many, many, many people.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we just praise you, God. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God that loves people where they're at, but you're waiting for them to love you the way you are, holy. And Father God, I pray that those who have ears to hear, let them hear that they will not go down the road that leads to destruction, but the road that leads them to repentance and truth and the narrow way that leads to you, Christ. Mm. And I thank you for this opportunity to speak your word, to be in your presence, Lord. For thank you for this Fisk University, Father God, for this opportunity to open the airways, Father God, that we know who the prince of the air is, but we take dominion over him in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And Father God, we thank you, Lord, for everybody that has, again, who has ears to hear, that Father God, that they will repent or likewise perish. But you don't want anybody to perish, but you want them to have everlasting life.
Right.
And Father God, I just thank you for this opportunity. I praise you, God, for all you're doing here in Nashville, Tennessee.
Again, Father, we give thanks to you for Minister Veronica, mm-hmm. Pastor mm-hmm. Angelo, to this great moment that has been orchestrated by Fixed mm-hmm. University and this mm-hmm. radio station.
Yes, God.
God, we ask your power to rest upon every man and woman of God mm-hmm. who proclaims with power and might mm-hmm. the truth that you are inviting each and every one of us, regardless of our brokenness,
yes.
to step away from where we are mm-hmm. and to enter into the newness of life, Father. Just as you've gotten us in all of our brokenness and redeemed us and restored us, we ask you to continue mm-hmm. to work through the church to extend that invitation to others. Now, let every pulpit be filled with power. Mm-hmm. And for those men and women who don't go to church today, meet them in their homes, their classrooms, mm-hmm. their dorm rooms. Remind them, Father, that you are the God that is forever in pursuit of them, mm-hmm. that they might yield themselves to your love, your grace, and your mercy. God, we give you glory, honor, and praise for all that you have done and continue to do through all of us. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.
I think we can all feel a blessing from those prayers. And I do want to thank you all so much for listening today. Our Nashville audience and our global family at WFSKFM.org. And Pastor Lattimore, please tell the audience where your church is located.
1203 9th North Avenue, or 9th Avenue North, Nashville, Tennessee.
Alpha Rosa L. Parks. And Alpha Jefferson, too, huh?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, right, that's down the street. Down the street.
Ma'am.
And Veronica and Reverend Angelo, please tell us where Higher Place is.
Yes, well, Higher Place is currently in our home, but people can go to higherplacechurch.com and uh-huh. find out more information. We also broadcast live.
Oh,
we'll broadcast live today on Facebook at 3
really?
p.m.
Okay.
So they can join us on Facebook.
So it's going to be some fire today at 3 on Facebook, huh?
Yeah. The bombs will be dropped.
They can also go to, if they're interested in the music, they can go to angeloandveronica.com.
Angelo and Veronica. Thank you so much. You all have the very best of the best. And don't forget who loves you.
You've been listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station and its management.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.